Welcome, everyone. It's good to see some familiar faces. Thanks for joining tonight. I would love to have us start by just taking a few breaths together and grounding ourselves. If you have any other website things open, close them off now. And in particular, to remember on this day of the solstice, our connection to the earth and to the heavens, and to just maybe put our feet on the floor and take a deep breath together. And whatever anxiety we might be carrying into the day, to just breathe it out. If it helps you to imagine breathing down into the earth. Some people find that helpful. And take another deep breath, remembering your connection to other people, people here, people in whatever communities you're part of, wherever you are. And take a final breath, remembering your connection to yourself, which particularly at a hectic time of year can be, for me, a challenge to remember. Just take a deep breath and get into your body and present. Welcome, everyone. I want to start by just saying a little bit about what my vision for tonight is. I think that what I have planned might be about an hour. I don't know. We'll see. It's sort of contingent on participation. I am not doing a kind of formal presentation with slides the way I generally do in my classes. I do have some thoughts, things I've been thinking about, what I've learned this year, and I'm looking forward to sharing those with you, but also looking forward to encouraging people to take some time for reflection themselves, to do a little journaling, a little sharing with each other. And my thought for tonight was that in this hour, I wouldn't necessarily put people in small groups, but that if there was interest in that, I'm certainly happy to stay on and match people up. One of the things that struck me this year is how some people have a lot of community, and some of the people who have taken my classes have not had a lot of community and have felt really isolated in the places where they live. And so if anyone has that need for further conversation, I'm happy to either stay on myself or match people up in small groups if there's interest in that. The idea for this came kind of at short notice, so I'm glad to see that some people were able to make it. But it came out of a sense of my own reflecting on the year and thinking about all the people who have been in my classes. And I want to acknowledge that you're probably coming in from different groups, and that those groups were really, part of what was interesting was that the tone of things sort of changed over the course of 2017. My earliest class, the first online class I ever taught, began before the inauguration of Donald Trump. And it really came out of a sense of urgency after the election. And dare I say, panic. It was the biggest class because that sense of kind of panic was so strong. And across the year, it's been interesting to see how we adjust to things. It makes me realize how people adjust to difficult circumstances. The sense of panic has waned, even as the sense of the importance of the issues and people's need to be together and learn skills and think about how to make an impact and be effective. That stayed really constant in the people I've connected with. But there has been a shift as people have adjusted to the normal if there is such a thing in our country. So it was partly thinking about that and wondering, how are people doing? How are you all doing? So I'm really looking forward to hearing that, and looking forward to hearing what are some of the things that people have been learning in their own lives, in their own communities. When I looked at the calendar and thought, you know, I have this idea, when in the world are we going to do this? The solstice just jumped out at me as a possibility. So today I Googled what my Druid ancestors said about the solstice. And this is from a modern website, but they basically said that the central and essential thought of this time is renewal. We let the past behind us and greet the new. The world is undergoing constant change, and we must change and adjust too in order to be able to survive. Change is inevitable. And that felt like an appropriate marker for this time of year, the shortest day of the year, both to recognize the difficulty of the time and also to look forward to the lengthening of days. So in terms of the plan tonight, I do not want to spend a ton of time talking about what Donald Trump did or didn't do. I think the news will be full of that at the end of the year. I think that most people here probably can find other spaces in which to complain. But one of the things I've been thinking is that complaining energy feels really different than grieving energy. And that it does feel important to name some of the things people want to grieve. And for me, those things are very much also mixed up in the things I want to celebrate. So as I thought about planning tonight, it didn't feel like two different sections. It felt like an opportunity for people to just name what's on their hearts. Oops, forgot to turn off the other phone. An opportunity for people to name what has happened this year that they want to be aware of as the year is drawing to a close. And I thought I might start by just giving an example or two of what I mean by the grief and the celebration being together. And then I would love it if people added things in the chat. And if anybody wants to raise their hand and come on and talk about something, that would be terrific. Since the first class, Zoom has upgraded. I don't know how many of you upgraded your Zoom when you logged on, but you now have more options in terms of raising your hand. You can click a yes button and then go faster or go slower. and I think it's probably at the bottom of the participants list. If people want to raise their hand or signal that they want to share on screen. But also, please feel free to write things in the chat. So the two issues that I want to just name to get us started in terms of both grief and celebration. The first is climate change, which is one of the main things I work on. It's been quite a year in terms of the climate itself. We've had floods and hurricanes and droughts and signs of the climate change, the change in climate that have been really profound and have actually dominated the news. A bright side to that is I've heard more news outlets acknowledge the role of climate change, not enough, but more than a few years ago. President Trump has talked about pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord and has more or less turned over the federal government to the fossil fuel industry flagrantly. I would say that the fossil fuel industry was pulling a lot of strings, but just extremely flagrant and who's been appointed and what the policies are. And so on the one hand, that's a source of great grief in the face of all this evidence about the destructiveness of climate change. People want to keep drilling in new places. People want to lift restrictions. And that's really breaking for me and hard to understand. And at the same time, I've seen climate activists stepping up in new ways and escalating their campaigns and being bolder and more strategic. And that's been really exciting. And I think it's not a coincidence that some politicians and some localities are actually doing way more in this political moment to show that they're not Donald Trump. So Governor Cuomo is a great example. He, prior to the election, he actually approved, I think, most of the pipeline permits that came his way. And since the election, he's been rejecting a lot more because he wants to prove that he's not Trump. New York City and state just announced that they were divesting their money from fossil fuels. I think I got that right. I just read the headline, but it's a big deal in terms of the divestment movement. And there are lots and lots of local communities that have decided to do more because it's clear that we can't wait for the federal government to solve this for us. So to me, that's just an example of where a sense of celebration and possibility is intermixed with grief and acknowledgement. I'll name one more, and that's sexism. We have a pussy grabber in the White House. Apparently, they're all over the place. Many of us are not surprised by this. But again, it's a problem that was there before that has been, the veil's been lifted. And so there's been a lot of pain that's come out. Like many women, I've sort of felt more in touch with my own stories, which are not the worst of the worst stories, but I've felt more in touch with the impact of them. And on the bright side, I just read today that Emily's List, the political action committee that raises money for candidates, has recorded nearly 20,000 women interested in running for office. So what's on your mind and heart? What are some of the things that have been happening that you want to name and share with the group? I would love to have people just start sharing things in the chat. And if you've forgotten how all this works, if you're on a computer, there's a chat button at the bottom of your screen. If you're on an iPad, it might be on the top. Janine says deportations. Thank you, Janine. Do you want to say a little bit more? Susan, you used an acronym, URG. Is this the Undoing Racism Group? Okay. And if you want to come on, that's totally fine. Why don't you unmute yourself and other people can keep typing? Janine, I'm going to let you unmute yourself. I don't actually see you. So Janine's either, oh, there she is.
I thought, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thanks.
Well, I live in Saratoga Springs and we had some mass arrests and deportations from people who worked in restaurants here. And of course, our Saratoga makes its summer, part of its summer on the flat track racing, which is with undocumented workers. And so it seems like a sort of deal was worked out with ICE to not have Saratoga be crippled, but I'm just, and Saratoga, you're talking about grief and celebration. So the other side of that is there's a very active Saratoga Immigration Coalition that has formed. Two of the churches, the Presbyterians and the Unitarians, have declared themselves sanctuaries. The Unitarians don't have the space, but they're acting. The Presbyterians have the space. So, mm-hmm. So again, good activity has come out of this, but a lot of people are suffering, and we've got Chuck Schumer who will not pledge to not shut down the government, whereas Gillibrand has. So mm-hmm. that's probably more than enough about that.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Janine. And I think that's a great example also of the grief when you're in touch with people who are either yourself or people you love or people you know who are, under threat of deportation. It's an extremely sad thing for the families being torn apart. And even the people living in fear, even if they haven't been deported, the fear factor has been its own burden for a lot of people. And not to discount that at all, the celebrations in my mind do not discount the pain or the suffering at all. And the last time I looked up the numbers, Trump had deported way, way, way less people than he said he was going to, in part, I believe, because so many communities have mobilized. So many church groups and other groups have built alliances with each other working on this issue. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Let's see. And Janine, I'm going to mute you. Julia says, I am so upset about the tax cut and the jobs bill. I'm so discouraged. See, racism, hate, immigrants' rights, and ICE. Patricia, Affordable Care Act, cuts to Medicare from tax reform bill. Carol, we're involved in indivisible activism. We turned our township blue, and we have so many young people getting involved in activism, exclamation point. Our community is stronger and energized. We are connecting many groups besides Indivisible, including ACLU, People Power, religious groups, racial justice groups. It is very empowering. That's great to hear. Thank you, Carol. Julia says, the only celebration I can think of is the election in Virginia and Alabama. I hope that we can sweep the 2018 elections. I think that's, let me just pause there and then we can keep going with some of the other comments. I think the elections have given people a lot of hope, and especially in Alabama, where a Democrat hasn't won in a long time. Some people were discouraged so close given the allegations against Roy Moore. But the fact, the coalition that won that race and the prominence of Black women in particular, I think has a lot of people thinking about what are the coalitions that people need to build in order to win legislative victories or win electoral victories. Has anyone mentioned healthcare? So going back to the comment about the tax cut, I totally agree about the tax cut being terrible, or the tax bill. I don't tax cut, the tax bill. One thing that struck me is that the news kept saying this is the first legislative victory of the year. And so to remember that this is a Republican administration with control of Congress, basically, and this is their first legislative victory in December. So it's terrible. It's not to undercut it. But why is it the first legislative victory? So I'm going to encourage people to think about the answer to that. I know some people who've been part of the classes have been part of the reason that Affordable Care Act wasn't repealed, even though the tax bill was hoping to chip away at it. Let's see, Janine added, one of the parts of Saratoga immigration activists is to give rides to people we can't ask questions of. It's so sobering and saddening. One has been deported. Yeah, and I think finding those ways to stay connected on a heart level to people is really important. So I appreciate that. That's good, Julia. So sad about loss of national monument land designations. Yes. Black votes matter. Yes. We owe the Alabama election to people of color. We must work for racial justice always. Absolutely. Ellen, I see you have a kind of a long note here. Do you want to just come on and talk, or should I read it out loud?
I can talk.
Okay, go ahead.
I put something else there too. I was just talking about forward movement and our friends meeting that you and I are part of, where we embrace this minute, a statement to work on racism. And it proved that when you tell the truth in ways that people can hear, they will move forward. Mm-hmm. But I think the deepest thing that I'm carrying is the way privilege that I live within has been, that bubble has been breached, even though I may not be directly immediately affected. I'm vulnerable in a way that I didn't think I would be. Mm-hmm. I grew up thinking, you know, I live in this safe society in this country, and none of us is exempt from that kind of danger now. Mm-hmm. And there's something very helpful and real about having that pretense of protection lifted from us, so that we have to embrace really working with each other, really organizing, really building community. And the horrendous things that have been tried and somewhat achieved by the people in power are so bad that mm-hmm. we do see the thing, like Alabama, victory in Alabama, but the plans that are going forward for the People's Campaign this coming year. This is a time of ferment where we gotta, you know, deeply root and hold on to our hats, I think, because it's gonna be a lot. And we get to be part of it in various different ways.
Yeah, thank you. I want to respond to a couple of those things. First, yes, I think deeply root and hold on to your hat. That's my new motto. I really appreciate what you said, Ellen, about the illusion of being protected from some of these issues being lifted. And I was thinking of that as I was responding to the thing about immigration, because I am not directly in danger of that. And yet, I think that there's something really important about seeing how any threat threatens all of us in some way. And this morning, there was a Facebook post that a friend of mine made, where someone had said they felt really bad for people who might lose their healthcare. And my friend was basically saying, like, this is bad for everybody, even if you think you have good insurance, you know? And there's something about that of, like, even if we feel called to focus on one issue in particular, to hold the connections, even as we try not to, you know, run from thing to thing in a scattered way, to recognize how all the issues are connected. So I appreciate you bringing that up about vulnerability.
Can I just say, I think it's vital to embrace our vulnerability as a way to learn and to open and change if we've been inside that bubble. That's all. Thank you.
Sure. And the person right after you, Patricia, wrote, as a person living in the South, prospective coalition with Black women to turn around election results in Southern states. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk this year about white women. Where are white women? What are white women doing? Which has been interesting, since the majority of people who have taken my class have been white women. Not 100%, but certainly a large percentage. And it feels like a time where kind of collectively, white women choosing to align with Black women feels really important, and other women of color, and other oppressed people. But there's something up with women building cross-racial coalitions, I think. All right, let's see. Margaret says, thankful for the Warren Buffetts of the world who stand for people with less, or stand with people who have less. Elizabeth says, seeing many friends who have health issues been exacerbated by their pain over Trump's election and actions. Yeah. Susan says, Alan speaks my mind, rolls to random acts of violence and killing through cars, guns, and in language. I am so vulnerable. And these have made me hear more of what others experience, listening as I retreat from a death in my family, followed now by a very ill friend. I am listening, grieving, and celebrating the bravery of those who act and speak, like Ruby Sales, Reb Barber, Merrill, and so on. Thank you. Any others that anyone wants to raise? Well, as I read at the beginning, if we think of the solstice as a time of transition, I think just acknowledging the griefs of the past year, some of which are ongoing, the Arctic wild refuge drilling, to kind of hold them. And I think my invitation is to hold them, to acknowledge them, to feel our feelings about them, and to recognize that the news media is designed for ratings, not for healing. And that the news media will always try to, whichever channel you're watching, will tell the story that they think will get the biggest emotional reaction, and will very often overlook the small, joyful, hopeful signs. And we will, unless we really look for them, we will not hear the celebrations, but I think they're everywhere. I think from what I'm seeing, people in communities everywhere are stepping up and engaging in new ways. And it's just really important for us to hold that too, or else we will get discouraged and go into despair. And it's very hard to act out of a place of despair. So I wanted to share a little bit of what I've learned this year, and then invite others to invite you all to do some journaling. Something that I've learned about myself, which was heartening, was that I have more capacity than I knew I had. I didn't know I could teach online classes or juggle that with having a teenager at home and multiple other things. And that's not bragging. There's something about capacity and how do we stretch ourselves? How do we use our gifts that I feel like it's important for us to claim? This spring, Earth Quaker Action Team did a 100-mile walk around our region, pressuring our local utility to move toward a lot more solar. And I signed up to walk 100 miles, and I did not know if I could do it. I have some questionable knee issues. But it felt important to me in this year to do something that felt like a stretch. And, you know, if I couldn't do it, like, as much as I could do would be a stretch. And the stretch might look different for other people, whatever it is that feels like a stretch. I feel like we're in a time. So whatever Ellen said, like, ground yourself, hold your hat. And then the last part I would say is step forward. But that's been important for me to realize that I had more capacity than I knew. It's really easy for me to forget spiritual practices. That's something that I knew before, but this year has reinforced it, that when I start stretching in terms of how many things I'm carrying, it's really, really important for me to remember those things. And I need reminders sometimes. So for me, it's pretty easy for me to go to meeting for worship on Sunday, because I'm an extrovert and I love my community and there's usually good food. So that one's not difficult for me, But taking a regular walk in the woods during the week is really important for my mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And I need to write it on my calendar, because when I get too many emails or people are asking me to do things, the self-care is the thing that it's easy for me to drop. And that feels, you know, related to sexism and big issues. Someone said recently that self-care is kind of an act of rebellion. And so I've been trying to embrace that and realize that it's okay for me. It's not only okay, but it's necessary for me to make time to do the things that will keep me grounded. A growth edge for me this year has been accepting help. I have not always been good at asking for or accepting help. And there have been a number of times this year, including Laura, who said, like, I want to help you with your class. And other people who out of the blue have made offerings. Ellen has served as a spiritual elder for some of these classes. And learning to say yes when those people pop up and offer things has been a growth edge for me. I knew that I needed community before, and this year has just reinforced that. And I feel a lot of gratitude for the fact that I have community. In terms of thinking about what I've learned about supporting other people through teaching these classes, I think that's been the single biggest thing, is the importance of people finding a group. I'm aware that there's spiritual community, but then there's also action community, and they're not always the same. And I think that people need both if they're gonna be taking public action. But if I have one thing that I would do over in the early sessions of the We Were Made for This Moment class, it's, I think, to spend more time helping people think about how to find a group. Someone interviewed me recently, Amanda Kemp, who some of you know, and she said, like, what's one thing people can do? And I think she was expecting, like, call your senator or an answer like that. And my one-liner has been, if you're going to do one thing, it's find a group, which isn't always easy for people. But I have the sense that even if you're doing things, even if you're making phone calls regularly through an app or an email or something, connecting with other people who share your concerns and are also working on them is just really, really important to sustaining ourselves over the long term. Another thing that's been reinforced for me this year is that people have the resources they need within them, and that our role is to support each other and to remind each other. So there's some things I teach. I teach certain ideas, but I think a lot of what I do is remind people of things that it's easy to forget, just as it's easy for me to forget my spiritual practices. We all need reminders. And I would love to help create a culture where we foster that trust in ourselves, that when people are scared or discouraged, that we ask each other, what is it you can do for yourself? What is it that you need to help you to stay grounded, to help you, whether it's grieve, if you need to grieve, but also not lose the thread of hope. And I guess the last thing I'll say about that is that it's been really interesting to watch people adjust to bad news, not to accept it or be happy about it, but to adjust. In the way that people have kind of gotten used to a daily barrage of bad news through this year. And I'm not exactly sure what the lesson about that is, but I think it has to do with why I think it's so important to hold the threads of hope and to hold the threads of celebration. Because I understand more easily how they went from Hitler's election to the Holocaust over that span of time. Not to be melodramatic about it, but I can see how little by little people get used to things. And that it's part of what we need from each other is to stay grounded in something different. And related to that, I'll say this again at the end, but I have come to realize how important it is to have a vision of what that something different could be. To really spend some time thinking about what is the world I want to see, not just what am I against. I went to 3 different workshops this year where part of the assignment was to write out our vision. And I had never been asked to do that before. And it's been really helpful to try to articulate what is the vision of the world I want to see. And in the aftermath to this, that's my suggested homework, is to help people name what that is for themselves. Laura, I'm wondering if you could help me out here. Is there anything that you want to, it looks like there's been a bunch of new comments. Before I encourage people to journal, it would be great to just know what people are saying.
Sure. People are saying, I'm echoing your advice that it is just how crucial it is to find a group. And Margaret said that there's so much dystopian fiction being written these days, and we need to think about the opposite. Janine commented that the 4 roles from the We Were Made for This Moment class have been really helpful. Hmm. And Margaret also said she never neglects.
All right, Margaret, way to go.
Yeah.
Great. I'll say one thing about the dystopian fiction. I've been reading Starhawk's novels. I don't know if people are familiar with her. She is a trainer of nonviolent action. She's also a leader of a Wiccan leader, a witch. And she writes about women's spirituality. And she has a couple of novels. The one I just finished is called The Fifth Sacred Thing. And if you're attracted to this idea of what is my vision, and counteracting the dystopian fiction, it's set in a dystopian future where one community has found a way to create the society they want. And it's, I've just found like that book is having a little resurgence in my community lately. And I had never read it before. Susan's saying I have her first 4 books. So if you're looking for a novel over the holidays that's something a little different, I recommend that one. Okay, so it's 8:08. Let's transition into giving you a chance to reflect on some questions. And I have 3 questions, and I will read them and then pause. I'll read each one and then pause and give you a few minutes to just free write. I'm not going to give people tons and tons of time, so you might want to come back to them later. Ellen just added, let's not overlook that Julia has said she's in a hard place. I'm sorry, Julia, I missed that one scrolling through. I'm not seeing it. Thank you. I'm not seeing her comment here. But I appreciate you pointing that out.
She just says that she has capacity low. And I think it's important that when we're feeling low, we not isolate. It's so hard not to just go lick wounds in the cave, but.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ellen. And thank you, Julia, for being candid about that. And I think that it's not an accident that we have so many celebrations this time of year, because we actually need the sun, and the long days are hard. And being in a hard place isn't helped by fake cheeriness being all around you and on the radio and whatnot. Thank you to both of you for bringing that up. So as I was thinking about what questions to ask people to journal about, a friend suggested one that resonated. And that is, what is something you want to celebrate for yourself? And I realize I'm telling this story, I walked 100 miles and stuff. There is no pressure to compare yourself with anybody else. Like, that was an experience for me, but I am really aware that people have grown this year in different ways. You know, it might be being present to that person who's in danger of being deported. It might be in being present to your friend who has health issues and is worried about health care. It might be being present to yourself who has those concerns. It might be some kind of outward action or some kind of inward growth. So there's no kind of expectation about what this is, but I do have the sense it's been a growthful time for people, a time of tumult often is. And so the first question, just to write stream of consciousness, don't overthink it, is what is something that you want to celebrate for yourself? And you don't have to share this with anyone if you don't want to, just for yourself. Take a few minutes to free write about that. And someone said right in the comments, no, this is if you can grab a pen and a piece of paper. And then the second question is, what is something you have learned this year about yourself? It could be something about the role of social change that resonates with you most. It could be about a gift you have, or it could be about a limitation you have. It could be about what kind of group doesn't work for you, or how you relate to the news, but something that you've learned about yourself. And then the last question is, what intention do you want to set for next year? And I want to be really clear, by intention, I do not mean resolution. I don't mean something that you think you should do, that you have to summon up your willpower to make yourself go to the gym at 5:30 in the morning or whatever the thing is. But what is something you really truly want in the new year that you can claim and set as an intention for yourself? Let's just take a few more seconds to finish that thought. And people are welcome to continue putting things in the chat, but I'd also welcome if anyone wants to come on the screen and share anything that came up for them during the journaling that they'd like to share with the group. Okay, Susan? Do you want to unmute yourself?
I forgot how for a minute.
There you go.
But, there. So, I remember taking the class with you. I was in the first group. One of the reasons I took the class was because I didn't know what I wanted to commit myself to, and everything was breaking me apart. So I found that what I needed to commit myself to was getting back to teaching, because it was the one thing that I had felt leading towards my whole life. And I thought, if I'm going to make a difference in this world, I might need to do it where I feel a little competence. So I'm tutoring for literacy programs. So I'm working with people who are immigrants or refugees in this country. One who has a goal. And also I've started doing this at my local library in Yaden. So that's been wonderful. And that has continued even though the death in my family broke open. And I came back from that feeling like I needed a retreat. And so I found at Pendle Hill this Journey into Wholeness, which is 4 weekends, but it guides you towards a kind of wholeness that you know, I knew was in me, but I've been broken. And so I couldn't afford it. And so I asked my friends and family, and they and they helped me. So that broke me open a little bit more because I hadn't done that. Sort of like you were talking about that, about learning to ask. And that's all I want to commit myself to this year is doing that, because it's helping me to become available to myself, to trust and to, and with trust and availability, maybe I can find those groups. It's odd how it's been working, because I've even in the last few weeks found myself becoming clerk of my little meeting. So it's already working a little bit. So these are not earth-shattering things, but I'm staying in touch with the news. I'm tutoring, and I'm going to be available. The only meetings I'm going to are URGE. I'm doing racism with PYM. And the rest of it is I'm cheering you guys on.
Wonderful. That's great. Thank you. And I want to echo the thing that you said about, like, well, these aren't big things, but I think that it's often not big things. It's often little things. When I ask for spiritual guidance, like, the most frequent answer is go walk in the woods, you know. But I wanted a roadmap to peace and justice. And what I got was go walk in the woods. Yeah, I think all of the things that you shared about using your gift, using the thing that you know you're good at, that I'm sure resonates. So thank you for sharing. Anybody else? Carol? Susan's walking in the woods too. Carol had shared in the chat about when the panic hit, signing up for several different Quaker-based trainings, feeling frantic, and then realizing at 75 that you don't need to solve all the world's problems at once. Great point. None of us do. I was at a Thanksgiving dinner where someone said, like, well, our generation failed, so it's all on you, and pointed at all the 20-year-olds. No, all of us have a piece. None of us have to do all of it. So that's great. And then Carol added, flourish under stress, as a course through Udemy. I'm never quite sure how to pronounce that, to learn how to flourish when under stress mindfully. That's great. Next time I'm stressed out, I'll try and do it mindfully. Right, and it's not a small thing, says Laura, for the person being tutored. Remember, how the helper role is one of the four roles of social change. And the helper often has the really close-up view of what the issues are, what's not working in the system. Great. Anybody else? It looks like, is that Elaine just unmuted?
Yep. I just thought I'd share what I wrote down.
Great.
And my husband and I just looked at a new house today. And we live in Juneau, Alaska, and we're both 73. So this is kind of interesting. Most people, and I'll tell you, the house is bigger than the one we have. So he wants a big garage. But here, you'll see where that comes in. So the celebration is being 73, still having really high energy for fun and activism, and loving relationships and new challenges. And that's one of them. But what I've learned about myself is I get really anxious about change. And it just scares me to change anything new. For those of you who are in your 70s or more, you may understand that things kind of change. Even if you're healthy, you go, ooh, you know, where am I going to be in a couple of years? Can I walk those steps? The really positive thing is that I really surprised myself that I could start a 350 group. And for those of you who don't know 350, it's a chapter of a global climate change organization. And, really start up new things. And I know I was scared to do it. And I had, now that it's the end of the year, we started in May, it's really going great. And Eileen, we are part of a brand new Divest the Permanent Fund If you know, the permanent fund is Alaska Sovereign Fund. It's like the Norwegian fund.
Uh-huh.
We have the momentum now to work on a divestment campaign of the permanent fund in a red state that's dependent on oil.
Wow. And I'm
so excited about it because all the stars are aligned.
That's great.
And so those are just...
I'm seeing in the chat, wow, inspirational. Hooray for Elaine. That's great. That's great. make sure you read the chat comments. So that's really, yeah, that's wonderful. And I think that's part of what I want to celebrate is that you're not alone, Elaine, in this, right? There are other people who are starting new things and not everyone is called to that. But if you are, it's a moment where that energy is being unleashed. And so I'm not surprised that people have joined with you and that you're rolling along. That's terrific. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else? Yes, things can change. You go. Carol. Carol has her hand up. Do you want to come on, Carol?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay. One of the things I learned in the multiple trainings I did Ad Seriatim that really helped me and maybe would help some other people is I've been all the roles. I'm 75, I've done it all. So what is the piece? Mm-hmm. And one of the little trainings just asks the question, when you're doing volunteer work or when you're in your job, excuse me, there are parts of your job, you know, you hate and you do them. And there are parts that really feed you that you say, oh, wow, this, I really love this. Do that. Mm-hmm. Because in this kind of a fight, it's so... there's so many hits that if you don't have something you're doing that feeds you, it's hard to keep going. Mm-hmm. So if you have a choice of lots of things to do, you know, for me, that's what I did. I decided what really feeds me is working with volunteers locally. So I'm doing local activism and I love it. I absolutely love it. So whether we're getting results or not, and we happen to be right now, it is a job that's not draining me.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be helpful to others.
That's great. Thank you so much, Carol. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think it is really helpful. And I also want to pick up on the thing you said about whether we're getting results or not. I think that there are some results that we see quickly and there are some results that we see slowly. And there's this book about social change that says, I'm blanking on the name right now, but says basically a lot of groups give up right before they would have won because you don't always see the progress that you're making. And divestment campaigns, I think, are a great example. Like, it's not incremental. You're like up against a big institution until you win. And so you might not realize that you're actually creating pressure and conversation in the institution and whatnot. But that's part of the reason why what you said is so important, that if you're finding joy in it, it will be way easier to sustain during the periods when you're not sure if it's working. So thank you. And it looks like Carol had also added, oh, yeah, that's what you just said. Great. Anybody else?
Can you hear me, Eileen?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on.
Yes, you're a little echoey.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to hang up.
Do you have a phone and a computer near each other?
I was on the phone. This will make y'all laugh.
Okay.
The part of the road that I live on is a 1 mile stretch with 7 houses. And the cable people said, well, we don't lay your kind of fibers anymore. So we're not going to do maintenance on it anymore, but we're also not going to offer you the new stuff because there's only 7 houses. So I get kicked off the internet a lot. So if I disappear, don't take it personal. One of the things that's really been important for me is to be in discernment about which direct actions I take part in. I'm very much an introvert. And if you told me that I could have gone out even for the Women's March as a medic, I would have absolutely said you're crazy. Hmm. I mean, but and there's a lot of things I would have liked to have gone to, but I just didn't feel led to be there. Mm-hmm. And so that, I think, has really been important for me to try to learn to listen to that. When the Nazis announced that they were going to be in Shelbyville, which is south of where I live, I knew I had to be there. And all my friends thought I was totally crazy because this was right after Charlottesville. And I was terrified. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. And it turned out there were 4 or 5 times as many of us as there were of them. Mm-hmm. And when they got to Murfreesboro, the college town, for their second rally that day, they were way, 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 way outnumbered, even more than that. And so basically they tucked their tails and ran home. Mm-hmm. And I would have never thought that I could have been a part of that. It was pretty awesome. Great.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. And especially that thing of listening to your inner guidance on an ongoing basis, on a case-by-case basis. It's not like we get a blueprint and we're done. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Anybody else?
Is it okay if I share one more thing?
Sure, go ahead.
My deep abiding concern has been to heal racism from very, very early in my life. And it's also the source of my biggest challenges, trying to move through that. And one of the things that's been so remarkable to me is that simply by hanging in, openings occur that I would not have expected. Mm. And if I get a notion, you know, like you're walking through the woods, mine is, I can't do this alone. I need a crew. When I opened in that direction, it began to come around without my managing it. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Thank you. Patricia is saying, I appreciate the bit about us introverts needing to respect our introvert self when being involved in activism. Yes. Great. Well, as I said at the beginning, I'm happy if people would like to spend more time and talk in small groups, I'm happy to stay on the line. But my own sense of leading about this was more to create a big group space. And I would like to give you one piece of homework. And that is to try journaling or even writing and rewriting some words for yourself about what your vision is. And it doesn't have to be the perfect thing that accompanies everything. Like Ellen just shared, like healing racism has been this abiding thing for her. So she might write something about what does that look like? What is the vision of the world or the community that you want to live in? And understand that we don't have to do everything to create that vision. There are lots of other people who have the same or a similar vision working on that. But one of the exercises I was invited to do was to name what your vision is and then name what your piece of it is. Whether your piece of it is one-on-one conversations or going to demonstrations or creating a safe space or writing or tutoring, there's lots of different ways that that might come. But starting with what is it that you want to see in the world, I'm just sensing that we're at a time where it's important for people to be in touch with what their vision is so that we're not only acting out of a place of rejecting. it's pretty easy to see what's bad, what we don't like, what we want to say no to. And that's also important. But I do think the world is really yearning for positive vision. So I think I'm going to leave it there with the things that I want to share. I'll just say one more thing that's a plug, which is the campaign class that the first group of We Were Made for This Moment, some people suggested I teach a class specifically on nonviolent direct action. And actually a number of 350 groups, including Elaine, have taken that class. And that's the next one that I'm offering again. It starts January 15th. And it's building a nonviolent direct action campaign. So if anyone is interested in that or knows other people who are interested, the thing that has kept this going has been word of mouth. It's been all of you telling other people, and I'm really deeply grateful for that. And I think that's all that I have. So what I think I'd like to do is have us say goodnight and express gratitude to each other. And then I'll just stay on a minute and see if there are people who want to talk to each other. And if you want to do that, you can just put it in the chat. But for now, I will unmute and let people say thanks and goodnight to each other.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.